Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Anne Frye. Anne is a catalyst for change and reinvention, a leadership coach and trainer, as well as an advocate for employees with cancer. She's the CEO and founder of the Regeneration Group, which works with corporations to enhance their culture and to bring out the qualities of leadership in their executives. As a reinvention expert, Anne works with people who want to make bold change. They might be ready for their bold individual leap, or perhaps they work inside an organization and they're ready to expand their position, value, empathy, and leadership skills. Anne, I also want to mention, was a psychotherapist for 25 years, which gives her a foundational understanding of the operational systems of organizations. And through those years, she's developed a sense of humor, and you'd have to, and transported that humor and knowledge into the world of speaking and coaching. So without further delay, Anne, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you certainly have an interesting background, and I know that you've been around the block, huh?
Yeah.
I remember speaking with you, and you said that it was probably at age 60 you sold everything in Austin, Texas, and moved to New York City just to have a new adventure. So tell us about that adventure and the business you've created.
Well, my parents were New Yorkers who moved to Miami, Florida before I was born, and actually when they were pregnant with me, and we would always visit New York, and I always loved New York and had family members there, always wanted to live there, but never had the opportunity. And so after getting a divorce in my mid-50s and raising my child, I said, you know, there's no time like the present. So I did that. Picked up, sold everything, and, you know, not my clothes, not my office, but you know, my furniture, everything. And I just moved to New York, and I started a new life. I had my business going. I kept my business going. In fact, it got really, really very busy for a while. I started coaching more executives. I started speaking around the country because being based in New York somehow had a ring to it, I think, that said, oh, she's from New York. And, It was really exciting. I really had a great run there.
Well, it sounds like a great transformation, and there's something magical about New York and being in the atmosphere. It's great for business. It's wonderful for networking. So that probably must have played some kind of a part as well.
Yes, for sure. I think so.
So when you talk about bold moves, because I that really stands out in my mind, how do you help clients make a bold move and maybe even define what is a bold move?
Well, if we're talking about somebody individually who wants to work with me because, you know, they're really tired, they want something to be different in their lives, it's just not working for them. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a profession, maybe it's some way of being that they have, maybe it has something to do with how they're not happy with their, you know, their bodies or their psyches or whatever. I describe a bold move as really willing to jump right in and take something on in a big way. It's like I jokingly say in New York, I say, if you just want to move from the west side to the east side, don't come to me. Just move. You know what I mean? I know people get very attached to their neighborhoods, but that's,
right.
You know, that's not a big deal. If you want to move to China or if you want to move to Timbuktu, or if you want to completely pursue a new career, come to me and then we'll talk it through. We'll make the steps. We'll figure out what you have to do and I'll support you and help you get there. If it's a corporation that says we want to make some bold changes, we need to do a really good look at what's working and what's not working. What would really make this company stand out? What would really make your leadership more effective? so that it's something huge, not just, oh, just go sign up for this online management course and learn how to be a better leader.
Right. And do you feel in your experience, and maybe this is tough to answer, but is it easier for the individual to make the bold move because you're working one-on-one, or is it easier in the sense of a corporation with resources that can make the bold move? What do you think?
Well, I think it's really the individual, if they're really dedicated to it, I think have an easier time because you're right, they have me one-to-one. In terms of the business, if it's a fairly high up leader and they say, I know that I have a lot to learn to be a more effective leader in my company, then I take them on one-on-one and that can be just as effective. In terms of moving a company off the dime, changing the culture, moving them into a cycle of risking to do something differently, that's very hard to do unless you're working with the CEO or you're working with the top level C-suite, and they say, we are ready to do this. And that's a very long-term project. And I don't do that as much. I mainly work with individual high-level managers because they say, I want to change my style, be a better leader.
Interesting. And on the note of, you know, working with companies, I remember reading that you have something called Cancer 360. Mm-hmm. Why did you start that initiative?
Why do I want to start that initiative?
Why did you start Cancer 360? And what is that?
Yeah. So Cancer 360 for me is a 360-degree look at an illness, which means, you know, a lot of people think, oh, if you have cancer, it's a physical illness. But it's a psychological illness. It's a spiritual illness. It's related to your job or your ability to do it. It's a relationship issue. I, because of my experience as a therapist, as someone who used to run a hospice and train hospice volunteers, as a person who lost two brothers to cancer, as a person who had my own cancer, and as a person who has a child that had cancer, and thank heavens is okay.
Oh, my.
Plus, working with companies, I feel like I have a unique perspective in looking at that whole 360-degree view. I don't just say, oh, well, here's what you need to know about cancer in a physical way, or here's how it impacts your emotional side, or here's what it does to the family. I know what it does to your job. I know what it does to your psyche. You know, I know the caregiving side of it. I know all sides of it. So I think that gives me a unique perspective.
Oh, definitely.
And
I come from that.
Yeah.
Is that something that you can help managers with so that they understand if someone within the organization has cancer, if it's one of their, you know, a member of their team, for them to deal with that, but so it is more emotional and you're able to help them in a way that they need help?
Yeah, that's the game plan. I mean, honestly, it's a fairly new rollout, and people are not quite understanding the value of it yet. They think that they can call upon their employee assistance program, and they can give somebody a few counseling sessions. And it's like, no, that's not what it is. It's really about training managers on how to become more comfortable, or said in an awkward way, helping managers become less uncomfortable with being able to talk to their employees about the topic. You know, if you work in a company, the person you want to be able to go to mainly is the person you directly report to. And you want to be able to go to them and say, I've had this diagnosis, or we just got this diagnosis on my partner or on my child or on my parent. And I know it's going to take a lot of time and it's going to be very emotionally draining. And I just want you to know what I'm going through, so that I can come to you for some understanding. And an inexperienced manager, while they would love to know how to do that, they're not comfortable. They don't know what to say. They don't know what you need. They don't know what you don't need. I want to help them. I want to train them on, you know, what do you do? What do you not do? What's appropriate to say? What do people need when they're going through this experience? How can you help? How should you not help? And letting them understand that they don't have to be afraid. I know that there's guidelines from the American Disabilities Act. I know that there's things that they cannot say.
Right.
But When a person comes to them directly and talks to them, that's a different story.
Well, your work that's is helpful. Certainly fascinating and valuable.
Thank you.
And much needed. Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you.
So you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you certainly had a lot of transformation, bold moves, you know, what you said about cancer in whether it was yourself or a family member, who has made you who you are. So I'm going to take it back to that bold move. So when you went from, you know, Austin, Texas, and I believe you're actually now, you came to New York and you were here for a while. You're now back in Austin. Didn't you make bold move recently?
Yeah.
So you're certainly a mover and a shaker. And I'm just curious, what kind of challenges came along with that, whether it was the first time or even the second time, now that you've done it again?
Yeah, the first time I did it was when I was very young. Actually, I did it twice. I moved when I was 24. I moved to Japan from Miami, where I grew up, and took a job with the Department of Defense Overseas Teaching Program. Obviously, not knowing anybody, not knowing the country, because it was on an Army base, they gave me housing, and I didn't have to be on my own. But that was pretty bold. And then when I came back to the States after 2 years, I moved from Miami to Chicago, where I didn't know anybody, to go to graduate school. I mean, a lot of people do that. They take off and they go to school someplace. But the move, and then when I moved to Austin, I was married and had a child, so it wasn't me on my own. The thing about moving to a new place or making a bold move is it really messes with you. While it's exciting and every new day is an experience, it also in the beginning is very lonely. You have to be the kind of person that is willing to get out there. I mean, I walked every neighborhood in New York on my own, started going to meetup groups, started joining professional associations, networked my heart out, and I met a lot of people. And I'm outgoing enough to do that. I'm not particularly an introvert. I'm much more of an extrovert. So I did that, and I was there 9.5 years. And frankly, I would still be there had it not been for a couple of particular things that called me back to Austin. I've only been back in Austin 3 weeks today.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. But
well, congratulations on that move. That is very recent.
Yeah. It's a little harder, even though I know people here and my son lives here. They all have their lives. I'm coming back into it hoping to have time in their lives, and they all have their lives, you know, and I'm figuring out how to fit into it. I know some people here. I started networking. I was in a professional meeting today already at lunchtime. But it'll take a while. I'm also 10 years older than I was when I made that other move. You know, my energy level is different. I've been through cancer. I have an autoimmune disease. So my energy level is different. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. But New York was getting really, really, really expensive for me. Remember, I'm a single person, self-supporting, yes, self-employed. Not like I get a paycheck. That's number one.
Right. That means we work all the time.
Yeah, the winters were killing me. You know, the last 2 winters were really tough. And then my child, who also had cancer 2 years ago, is here. And I started thinking about it then. It's like, you know, I'm really far away. I'm ready to start thinking about coming back. So it was those three things. And then the apartment I was living in came up for the person who owned the apartment decided to sell it. And I started looking around and
timing.
I said, it's crazy. It's so expensive here. Yeah, it was all timing.
It certainly speaks to a level of confidence to make these moves, to being outgoing, but at the same time, like you said, there's definitely the challenges. I'm talking with my special guest, Ann Fry, CEO and founder of the Regeneration Group and a catalyst for change. In the next segment, Ann will share her advice on how to move away from the status quo.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Anne Fry and I were just chatting about bold moves. So, Anne, on that note, we talked about making bold moves, what they are. What advice would you give to someone to help them move away from status quo? Because it's so easy to do that.
Well, I think I've developed several steps, and I will give you a couple of those steps. There's too many to go through, obviously, all of them. But before you can even engage in my process, there's a couple of things you have to do. The first one is that, you know, you have to be willing to look daringly at your life and say, you know, this is working, this isn't working. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're probably not going to make a chance. And then you have to tell yourself the truth. If you're going to be willing to look at your life or look at your job or look at your relationship, you have to tell the truth, if not out loud to anybody else, certainly to yourself. Because if you don't admit that there's an issue, then you're probably not going to make a change. And then the most important piece of that is that you have to give yourself permission to move forward. So, you know, there's lots of people. We all know them. There are people we love in our lives and friends and all of that that say, man, I hate my job. I hate my career. I hate myself. I hate my parents. I hate where I'm living. And all they do is complain about it forever. But they don't ever really sit down and say, what would it take for me to actually tell myself the truth and then be willing, in other words, give themselves permission to start to do something about it? That's why it's really helpful to them if they work, if they partner up with someone who coaches them through the practice. I think that's very helpful. So all of those are things that they have to be willing to ascribe to before they can even get onto the steps of actually changing or reinventing themselves.
Can I just interject for 1 second? Because, you know, even just getting up to that process, when people become conditioned, you know, you go through your life and you're conditioned to do and see certain things and you end up complaining rather than changing, how long does it actually take to get with the program? Are there some people who just step back and say, oh my gosh, I've been complaining for 10 years and this is the real truth and I'm going to face it and I'm giving myself permission to move forward? Or does it take a really long time for them to say, to look at things differently and to say, wow, this is really broken in my life?
You know, I think it's very conditional. If I might make a joke about New York City, the joke there is that almost everybody's in therapy and everybody's been in therapy for 30 years. You know, they keep going back to the same therapist forever, paying them out of pocket because none of the therapists take insurance, and talking about everything that's going on in their life. And I don't mean to be offensive. Some people have very serious trauma in their background, and they really need a lot to recover from that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your run-of-the-mill person that just wants to make things different but are not willing to do it. The thing that makes a difference for them is that they have to reach some kind of a saturation point, or something sometimes has to happen to them, like out of the blue, a spouse asks for a divorce and there they are on their own, or out of the blue, they find themselves turning a certain age and not being available to for any kind of a promotion because they start feeling the ageism in their company. Or all of a sudden, something traumatic, horrible happens to someone they love, or to them, even an illness, and they say, wow, life is too short to be this unhappy. So oftentimes there's a catalyst That's why I call myself kind of a catalyst for change. There's some kind of catalyst. There's something that happens, and they say, wow, I guess I'm finally ready. And that's when I think it's helpful if they work with someone, and work with someone that is not in their life. This is not a commercial for me, by the way. This is the reality. I mean, I always worked with coaches when I was ready to do this. Because if you go to the people that love you, they don't always have your best interests in mind. They say, well, that's a really
bias.
Cool idea. Yeah, there's a bias. They have their own agenda. I was really lucky. When I decided to move to New York, the only person I cared about in terms of his response to my moving was my son. He was in his 20s. He was grown up. I said, how would you feel if I moved to New York? Now, he's done a lot of personal development work, a lot of transformational work. He's a really smart person. And he said, Mom, he said, I love New York. What's the downside? You go to New York, I have a place to visit.
Right.
You come here. Right?
It was a lot of perks.
He said, a lot of perks. But in essence, he knew that it would make me happy. And, you know, he would come up and I would come down here about three or four times a year and visit. So there was always that connection. But in a lot of families, they get barriers. I worked with a man who wanted to get out of his work. He was a CFO in companies. He was always making money for companies. He was very well paid, but he was not happy or satisfied anymore. He wanted to get out. He wanted to work teaching in college or doing something with a nonprofit where he felt his work was meaningful rather than just making a company rich, right?
And they're very different, yes.
Very, very different. And he went home finally after a lot of pushing from me. I said, if you're going to do this, you need to get your wife on board. You can't just change your career, which is going to change your lifestyle, without having her on board, right? So he went
home
and he told his wife, it's huge.
I hope she said yes.
No, she didn't. She said, no way. I love my lifestyle. No way will I accept you.
That's a roadblock.
I thought, you know, that's a roadblock. I thought maybe you should get a divorce instead. But no, I didn't say that.
And then do your nonprofit work.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
but,
my.
But he did contact me a couple of times after that. One time to tell me he left that company and he got with a startup that was much more, it felt much more meaningful to him. And then I got a note from him very recently saying he was with a new startup and he was still, you know, actionable as a CFO, but
right.
He felt like the mission of the company was much more meaningful.
Excellent. And that's so important. You really want to connect your values and your passion to where you're working and what you're doing. So you wrote some publications, 60 Sexy, Sassy and Free, A Real Woman's Story of Reinvention, and also When You Want Things to Be Different, 7.5 Steps to Transcend the Status Quo. What will people learn from your writing in a nutshell?
Well, the first one is just kind of it's a memoir of what it was like from the day I, you know, left Austin to fly to New York to start my life over. And then during the first year or two of being there, and it interspersed some personal stories along the way of my life, you know, my history, like everything you never wanted to know about me is in that book. It's pretty personal.
Awesome.
I think it taps them into my courage. And then the other one really is a workbook. And, it asks a lot of questions and really starts to get people to think about what would they want to do if they could do anything, and then takes them through the steps. And it's downloadable on, you know, you can buy it on my website, and I sometimes do telephone workshops about it, and I think I'm going to start doing some in-person workshops about it now that I've moved back to Texas, because it's a step-by-step guide to helping you actually make a huge change.
That's excellent. And do you think that as you're contemplating these huge changes, I know we talked about family, but how important is your network with respect to bold moves that you make?
Well, I think it's really important. I mean, family is only one aspect. And you know what? Sometimes you can never make your family happy, no matter how much you try, because they've got, like you said, their own agenda. If you can find a network of people, friends, peers, colleagues that are supportive of what you're doing, I think it makes all the difference in the world. If you're trying to do change on your own, tough, very, very tough.
Yeah, that is so true. If you could go back and give mm-hmm. yourself advice right before your move from Austin to New York, what would that advice be? What would you say to yourself? Is there anything you've learned from the experience that you'd go back and say, hey?
Probably I would say not to be so scared, because I was really scared. Just trust yourself. Trust yourself and know that, you will make it through. And I'm not a particularly religious person. I'm pretty spiritual and I meditate and things like that. It's like, just trust your own inner guidance, you know, because I can create a lot of anxiety for myself. Believe me, I don't need anybody else to do it for me. And just tell myself it's okay to be out there. Right now I'm telling myself that it's okay to be hanging on those skinny branches, not knowing where I'm going to be in the next 6 months, you know, generating new work, new relationships. It's pretty scary. And I seem to be pretty calm at the moment, and we'll see how it goes.
That's excellent. You know, trusting yourself, believing in your own inner guidance, that is really good words of advice. Whether you're telling yourself before your move or you're sharing with all of my listeners. So I guess the last question is always the easiest. How can my listeners find out more about you and your work?
They can go to my website, which is www.annfry, that's A-N-N-F like Frank, R-Y.com. And I also have one called I Am a Thriver, T-H-R-I-V-E-R. I believe in thriving rather than surviving. So I have IamAthriver.com.
Excellent.
And there is a Cancer 360 website as well, where they can download a free book if they have anybody that's going through cancer. So there's lots of places to find me. They can even go to the Huffington Post and sign in with my, and, you know, put in my name and be taken to a series of articles that I write about all this.
Fantastic. Well, Anne, thank you very much for joining us today
and
for sharing your
welcome.
Thoughts, you know, making a bold move, your courage, and what it means to be a catalyst for change. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.